Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Father, we thank you, give you praise, thank you for your presence. We ask that, Lord, as we speak your word, gets into our heart and transforms us and every situation around us. In the name of Jesus. Greatness in God. Matthew 20:26. Let's start from there. Just to give you a miniature of what greatness in God looks like, even though the scripture is not in the order of the teaching. That doesn't mean it's not part of the teaching, but not in the right order. I'm not supposed to quote it now, but just to give you an idea. It said, yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, he said, let him be your servant. He said, let him be your word, your servant. So that's the idea. In the world, greatness is not a function of serving anyone, but people serving you. But in God, it is different. Just an idea. So let's get into the sermon. So I wrote in the introduction that in today's world, greatness is often measured by money, fame, power, influence, titles, and achievements. That doesn't mean this is God's definition. In today's world, that's what we see. People celebrate those who rise quickly, dominate others, and gain worldly recognitions. But heaven does not measure greatness the same way the world does. A person can be great before men and still be empty before God. A person can be very great before men and still be very empty before God. And what really matters? Is it the greatness, the applause before men, and the emptiness before God? Or the emptiness before God, I mean. What really matters? Meanwhile, I love people who are like that, who have allowed the world's applause, you know, to destroy them, have little or no consciousness of the idea of God's greatness. Some people think there is life and there is God. You know, there's a way life should be, and we know there's a God, so we should just live our life some sort of, and every Sunday be in church in the morning like this. And that is why I was listening to Pastor Bill Johnson. He said that is why he has observed that in the cities that has, now we are not saying that we are not excited with great attendance of churches, you know, on a Sunday morning like this when people are plenty. Doesn't mean we are not excited. We are. But he said he observed that in cities, you know, American cities that have the greatest number of church attendance seem to be the most backward. You know, when you try to measure how that the culture of heaven has infiltrated the cities, that they are backward in their thinking of the world and etc. And it baffles him. Satan is comfortable when you have this spirit of Pharisees, this religious spirit, you know, just flocking and, you know, working in the hearts of people rather than the spirit of Christ, rather than the mind of Christ. A spirit that is comfortable with religion. but doesn't desire true change in Christ. You know, you have people who in church who are fulfilling religious functions, but they are terrible at homes, they are terrible at their places of work, and etc. We see that even happening today. Where I grew up as a child, there's a program they always do once in a year in the church, where they sell properties, you know, they sell things in the church. This anti-biblical belief, because that's the pharisaical spirit, let me put it like that. Jesus negated that in scripture. He flogged people who were selling in church, but they are imbibing those cultures. They're inculcating those cultures in today's world. Are we together? So you see them selling things in church, you know, at a particular time of the year, and it baffles me because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody really wants to embrace this change. We are just comfortable with religion. We have seen in scripture that that's wrong, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to challenge it. And if you seem like you want to challenge it, you become an enemy. Of course, Socrates says if you want to stand with truth, you become the most hated person upon the face of the earth. Very, very true. Jesus said, if you stand for my cause, he said, they will hate you because they hated me. And a disciple can never be greater than his master. Or a slave can never be greater than his what? Teacher. So if they stood against me, they will stand against you. Are we together? So I observed they were even drinking alcohol in the church. You know, some people have this belief that Jesus changed water to alcohol. You must be terrible in your thinking to think Jesus changed water to alcohol. It means you have a defeated mind. That's cowardice. Because if you are really an intelligent person who had done his research around alcohol, if you are a scientist here, if you've done chemistry here, you understand that there is no percentage of alcohol beyond normality that does not destroy the human body. And Jesus said, I've not come to steal, kill, and destroy, but the enemy has come to what? So if Jesus has not come to steal, kill, destroy, then who is the one that inspired anybody to create such a drink that the alcoholic content goes beyond normality? It's definitely not God. Because that is destroying you. That has a potency to what? Destroy you. And of course, I've done this several times here. If you look at the writing of Solomon, you see where he said in the book of Proverbs that kings do not take what? Strong wine. Right? At some point that the word for wine meant alcohol, he said kings don't take wine. If you check the root word, it means strong wine. But you see, a few times in scriptures, they've substituted English, not really scriptures, because we interpreted the Bible from the original language, right? So you see, they just substitute for either alcohol or normal wine for just wine. And the Greek word, the word is olam, all right? So, if you look at the storyline, you will understand that Jesus did not change water to wine. The Bible said, in other events, the people, you know, are famine. They say in other events, they give us the bad wine, right? The good wine, yeah. And when the event is almost finishing, they now give us what? The bad wine, all right? And I told you guys that, of course, they don't give the bad wine while the wives of the men are there, while the children of the men are there. They give them while wives and children have gone home. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because that bad wine has the potency to intoxicate anybody. Alright? But Jesus did the opposite. He did against their culture. He gave them the good wine. Sorry, they were taking a good wine to them. But Jesus brought a better wine. And if according to the scriptures, according to their culture, a good wine is the one that does not have alcoholic content beyond what? Normality. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But Jesus gave them a better wine. That simply means Jesus' own does not even have alcohol at all. Is that not exciting to know? Because they said Jesus' wine was even better. So I've heard people who say these things, and you know that you are actually trying to comfort yourself. You are destroying yourself if you take alcohol. You can, you know, Funny enough, there are pastors who always say things that you want to hear. If you live here now, there's another pastor you see online that will tell you, Jesus changed water to wine. The wine was buzu. It's foolishness. Such a person did not do his own research. It is definitely not buzu. Buzu in their days is more like shekpe. Have you heard the word shekpe before? Those days in the bag, there's this drink they call shekpe. If you take it, you just start behaving like you're out of your mind. Or I've heard other people call it kai kai. Or we can use the word ogogoro. Anybody has tasted ogogoro here before? Rejoice, you're raising your hand. I would have been shocked. Are you sure you have not tasted ogogoro? Oh, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Seems this lady has tasted ogogoro before. How's the experience? It was bitter. What did you taste it to do? Because I know there are some people that mix it to make medicine. I've heard of things like that. Is it medicine that you... that is for medicine? Just like that. Only it. You take ogogoro, you did not take medicine. It should have been mixed with something, then we'll call it medicine. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Jesus did not change water to buzu. Neither did he change water to ogogoro or shekpe. He changed water to what? Wine. Neither did he even change water to zazu. Or alumo. So Bill Johnson said he observed that, and it's because the people are more religious conscious than they are Christ conscious. And of course, they can't help it because you can only operate in the level of knowledge that you have. Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's because the priests refuse to teach the truth. I don't believe anybody will see the truth and say, I will refuse to teach the truth. A lot of times, or a few times, pastors sometimes... You know, every pastor is a human being. And sometimes we have biases as men of God. You can probably not teach something because you don't think it is true. You don't just want to bow, you know, to the truth because you have been standing with whatever you had called truth for a long time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible calls those truths that have stayed, those lies that were assuming for truth for a long time, the Bible calls it... strongholds. They become strongholds. Satan uses them to subject people's life. Are we together? He uses them. You know, if they question that lie in your heart that you think is truth, the proof that you have been staying in a lie is that you begin to show offense. Somebody asks you, why are you doing this if it's not in the Bible? And you begin to get offended. If it's truth, you'll be excited to prove it. Are we together? But if you find people who you question their doctrinal beliefs and they begin to get offended, whatever they are standing for was not the truth. Truth is like a lion. It can always defend itself. Are we together? Very important. So one of the things I tried to gather while I was trying to study this particular part of the message is that, in fact, if you look at it even more deeply, you'll find out these guys were antichrists. These Pharisees, they were what? Antichrist. You know, of course, they did not have a problem with the humanity of Jesus yet until he began to show his divinity. Until he began to say something different other than what they were used to. And they shouted what? Crucify him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And Jesus told us something. He said, if they will condemn me. He said, they will condemn you because they don't know me. Very important. And that's why I believe that the Antichrist spirit will find expression through religiosity. I believe it's so strong. And we are seeing the proof today, just that some people are blind to see it. If you're observing our today's world, there's, you know, recently we were hearing things like celibate gay priests. That's terrible. Celibate gay priests. Recently there's a debate in the church, in a particular part of the church, wondering if transgenders should be accepted in the community of the church. Now that's terrible. That should even be a debate. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because we are actually just seeing people who are filled with demons. And there's a particular scripture in Mark 4 where somebody who had a lot of demons, you know, for several years, who always behaved like a mad person, behaved like he was insane. You know, the Bible said he saw Jesus coming, and all of a sudden he came to Jesus and he bowed down and worshipped him. Can you remember that part of scripture? Can you remember that story? Are you sure you remember the story? He had a lot of demons, right? Legion of demons. Okay, let me use the word legion of demons. You remember now, right? And when he saw Jesus, the Bible said he bowed down. That's what the Bible said. He bowed down and worshipped Jesus. That simply means transformation is possible in any city. You see, if we all look like Jesus, demons will bow down. Now, imagine a legion of demons. Many demons couldn't stop worship. Listen to what I'm trying to say. We don't care the number of demons in this city. You know, there are certain men of God that say there are territorial demons that stop the flow of God. There is no territorial demon that can stop the flow of God. Many demons in one accord worship Jesus. Meaning if Jesus is highlighted enough, known enough, revealed enough in this city, no fortress, no demonic whatsoever can stop him. Many, if we want to see transformation, we must go beyond just sitting in church to understanding Jesus. If ministry is just subjected to people filling the church light and etc., but the word of God not prevailing in the hearts of men, we will truly not see any transformation in any city. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Do you understand me tonight? It's not really part of the message, but I'm just adding it as an addendum or jara, as the Hausa people will say. Many people appear successful outwardly, but their success is built on compromise, pride, dishonesty, corruption, immorality, or disobedience to God. In summary, true greatness is not about arriving somewhere in life. It is about arriving somewhere God's way. Listen again, and don't allow any demon stop you from listening. I say true greatness, it's not just about arriving somewhere in life. It is about arriving in that place God's way. So that you have money, you have this, you have that. You know what the world uses to measure success. It's not enough for somebody to call you success. It's success. According to God's word, how did you arrive there? It's more important than the fact that you arrived. You have money. How did you get the money? You have this. How did you get that? In fact, you have a husband. How did you get the husband? Did you take another person's husband? You have a wife. How did you get the wife? Did you manipulate her? You have a business. How did you start that business? Did you cheat somebody else? Are you listening to me? The world will not ask you questions. As long as you have the money, as long as you have the results, they'll be clapping for you. But before God, you can still stand empty. And of course, God matters than the world. God is not only interested in your success, He is interested in the process, the principles, and the condition of your heart. Because the principles and the process that He gives to you determines or proves the condition of your heart. If you did not get that result God's way, that means the condition of your heart is not right with God. And He said in His word, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? Remember that? He said, what can a man offer in what? Exchange of his soul. That means to God, the condition of your heart matters than anything you can ever get in this world. He said in 3 John 2 that, dear beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Meaning God does not want you to prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. Are you listening to me? Very important. You belong to God, you don't belong to the world. He determines how things should be. So a few points. Worldly greatness is different from godly greatness. That today's world says, promote yourself, do whatever it takes, step on people to rise, compromise if necessary. Results matter more than character. That's what the today's world will say. But Jesus taught something completely different. In Matthew 20:26-28, Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you, like I started with, he said, must be your servant. Meaning to God, the most humble people seated in this place are the greatest people. People who are ready to serve others. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that the one who thinks he should come and clean this church, I'm not saying everybody should start coming to clean church. We have different responsibilities in church. But take, for instance, that we have several rules and you have the liberty to choose any. Maybe some will feel like they should come and stand up stage and sing, or stand up stage and preach, or do something that is glorifying. But to God, the one who is great is the one who wants to serve everybody. The one who comes early to arrange the place. The one who comes early to clean everywhere. The one who will not argue with anybody. If you want to do it, get it done. If you want that, get it done. Like Abraham. Can you remember the scripture? Lot was a junior brother. He was fighting for property with Abraham. The Bible says, blessed Abraham told him, you can take anything you want to take. Because he was viewing life and was responding to Lot from a deeper understanding. He had God. And God has blessed him already. God told him that he was going to be blessed as far as his eyes can see. He has it already. Remember, God told Abraham that, right? Now, on the strength of the speakings of God, Abraham responded. Abraham responded from the promise of God. He said, Job, you can have everything you want. Sorry, Lot, you can have everything you want. And when Lot selected all the best, you know, one of the funniest part of the story was when Lot selected, you know, and at a point, Lot said, sorry, sir, I would have left this one, but I prefer it also. You know, go and read the story. Very funny. He said, he was done selecting. He now came back and said there's something that he would have left. But he just feel like he will need that too. Very greedy. And he took it and left. Abraham was calm. He allowed him to go. But a few years later, who still helped Lot? Abraham. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Abraham still became great before God. He had a good, beautiful character. I believe before God, character is everything, because even looking at Abraham, he was an idol worshiper. I hope you people are aware. Maybe he was not worshiping the idol like his father, but he was an idol worshiper. I'm not sure he worshiped as much as his dad. But God picked Abraham because he had a very decent character. Meanwhile, don't get me wrong, God didn't just pick him and started using him. God picked him and transformed him by his word. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If God sees potential, it is because you have good character. He will take you because of that humility. But yet, he doesn't even trust that your humility outside his word. He will still walk upon you by his word. But of course, good character always stands out before God. You can see Abraham, who was worshipping an idol. Yet, because of his good character, God picked him. Are you listening? According to God, greatness comes through humility. Leadership comes through service. Honor comes through obedience. Promotion comes from God above all. I'll say it again. Greatness comes through humility. Leadership comes through what? Service. And honor comes through obedience. Promotion in its entirety comes from who? God Almighty. Yesterday I was talking to the leaders. I said, I think a lot of times people forget the fact that promotion does not come neither from the east, west, and south. It comes from above. If you truly understand that promotion comes from God, you have no fear living God's principle confidently every day. Because you know that you will never be disadvantaged at the end. He had said in his word that better is the end of a matter than the beginning. It doesn't matter if it seems like I'm failing because I'm following God's principle. At the end, I'll still walk. I must walk in the result of God. Are you listening to me? Very important. So promotion comes from God. Please him alone. Because promotion comes from him. I mean, forget about the fact that some people have gotten successful the world's way. Alright, I'll come to that part in my teaching. Forget about that fact. Trust God so much to understand that anybody not following his principle does not have his kind of result. Even though they seem physically like they do. Because at the end you will see it that they truly don't. There was this news recently. I don't just like to see some of this news because it looks like I'm condemning the people. But there's a very influential man who, and the world believe, has money. Recently in Africa, amidst a lot of atrocities that he has been doing, seeming, I heard a doctor saying it in an interview, that he called them in Lagos and was giving them money to leave the health sector. Some of them who are aged in the health sector. He told them to leave because he wants to recruit people by himself that will be collecting women's egg. You know, I hear women sell their eggs these days. So what they'll be doing is that they'll be collecting women's egg. My tea is surprised our chair knows that women sell their eggs. I think it's a popular news. Everybody knows that. You'd have heard that rumor. So women are just going to sell, and you'll be hearing them say, I think I heard somebody saying, they say it's very expensive, for I'll just go and sell a few of my eggs. You know, it's funny. You know, the guy is from the school of thought that believes that we are too populated on the earth. Yeah, I don't want to mention his name for decency's sake. But he's of the school of thought. You know, some of us, and I believe there are a lot of people like that, we are not necessarily living or trying to make money to prove anything to the world. We are not just living in the world. We try to make research. We try to understand the deeper things, you know, beyond the surface of what is happening in the world. And I think every good Christian should be like that. I study human beings. I have biography of people. I ask a lot of funny questions on the internet about people. I try to just map one or two things when I suspect it. I prophesied about this person. If some of you know who I'm talking about, I've prophesied it way back. I said there's something not right about this person. And now we're seeing it. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the doctor, one of the doctors said, he said, the person that was taking doing the interview said, I said to him, I said, you are out of your mind. He said, go and collect the eggs of your children and your grandchildren. You are out of your mind. And they drove him from the interview. Now, it was not chicken change he wanted to offer them. If I call his name, you'll be very shocked. That this man's desire is that now all the money he has made, the billions he has, is to the end that his idea about life becomes a manifestation. He believes the world is too populated. Are you all here tonight? I'm telling you, everybody is living for a cause. You are the one thinking, and that is why you don't have the money you are looking for. Because you are looking for money to eat food. There are people looking for money to pursue a cause. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They are looking for money to pursue a cause. And either ways, they are billionaires. The God side and the demonic side. Because the ones in the demonic side are ready to spill human blood. You who is neutral, you don't want to see what the blood has done for you. Believe it enough for prosperity. Neither do you have the mind to spill human blood. But these ones that are living for a cause are ready to do anything to make money. But some of us who believe that we need money to facilitate the idea of God, the vision of God upon the face of the earth, we stand with God so much to see the result of money in our lives. God's way, with God's principle. That's why you see us pray enough. We speak God's word enough. We follow biblical principles. Those other ones who they are following, you cannot be in the middle and want to become so wealthy in the world. You can't be in the middle. There's no neutral ground. You either compromise or follow God's way. And that's why if you watch people who are not really planted in God, successful, they have compromised, most of them. If you see any young man who you have observed does not serve God enough, does not come to church, and is driving a Benz, you can tell who that guy is. He's literally a Yahoo boy. Meaning he has compromised. If you see a young lady who you know does not really serve God properly, and she has a Jeep, an SUV, then they always have pedicure and manicure and sell hair. If you observe such people, you know they are doing beyond whatever you are seeing. The shop is a cover up. There are some of you seated under the sound of my voice. Your greatest desire is to make money. And that's why you will never make that money. Your greatest desire. Lord, I just want to be. Why do you want to become a billionaire? If you have the money, you become stupid. Because there's no reason why you want to become that billionaire. That's why immediately small percentage of the money come, you get intoxicated. You start acting up like there's a demon in you. Of course there's a demon. Are you all listening to me? If you see somebody who truly knows why he wants to have money, the success does not get him intoxicated. I was talking to leaders yesterday. I have a friend who is outside the country. And he, yesterday for the first time, he shared some stories with me. Some of his life. We never knew that, even from campus. He's a coursemate. He said, Pastor, do you know that while I was in school, I was rendering computer services by the roadside, you know, far from where students are, so that nobody observes me. And I was using it to pay my school fees because my father was dead and my mother was the only one supporting me. I said, I didn't do that. You didn't look like you were doing anything like that. He said, yes, I was. He said, I'd sold kerosene on the road. I'd sold tomatoes on the road before. Do you know that? I said, no. Why did you do that? He then told me also that while he was living with one of his uncles, they suffered him to a point that he had to cry one day that he didn't have a father. You know, even to eat was a problem. I don't want to go so deep in the matter. And the person is so influential, he washes all the cars, over 3 cars every morning. That's how influential the person was. Yet he couldn't even eat in the house. I don't believe that those kind of people are supposed to be existing. You know, while I was growing up, I observed this with a lot of families. And of course, I dealt with it even in my family. People that bring people to come and live with them, sometimes these people are terrible. You bring somebody to live with you from the village, somebody else's child, and you treat the person like he's a non-entity. I mean, that's somebody's child. And that's a human being that Jesus died for. And whatever those people can do, your children cannot do it. It's terrible. You teach your child wickedness from that very young age. When he's a child, when that other person's child from the village, you will slap with so much energy. Some of you, you know, with time you are seeing that even you that are marrying, you are behaving like that too. You bring somebody's child before you know, pop on the head. If they slap you, if your child falls, you shout blood of Jesus. You have not seen anything. You have not seen anything. And that's why I tell you the truth, being honest. I don't know if I told my wife before. I told myself I don't want people to come and live with me because I'm ready to fight my wife for this kind of thing if that ever happens. I'm ready to pursue her from there. I'll say, what made you to pursue your wife? She was maltreating a human being that Jesus paid his blood for. And that's why I pursued her from the house. At the first is that I said, I don't want anybody to live in the house. But when it was necessary, I said, come. And of course, thank God she's a child of God too, and she understands my principles. Hallelujah to Jesus. Imagine my child grows up and she's saying, calling her by her name, we will beat the hell out of her. You have to call her auntie. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You train your children like that, so that they don't have that idea of looking down on people. It starts from the house. Meanwhile, there are a lot of people like that. That's why some of you don't have respect. Because you grew up in homes that one girl was nothing in the house. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You guys went to the best school, she went to the worst schools. While you guys are doing assignments, she's washing plates. Finally, the way God will catch you now, she will now become better. Your children are worst. What do you expect? What you sow, you reap. Hallelujah to Jesus. So don't allow all of those kind of things to happen. When you see a young lady, there's a time I was trying to eat before I got married at Lady P, and I saw a young lady holding the latest iPhone. And of course, the best of what they use it for is TikTok. She was just doing like this. And I looked at the phone, and I heard two boys saying, oh boy, now the latest iPhone be that. How did this girl take care of that money? And I look at the lady, there is no way you can tell me that lady had any idea that brought iPhone to her. She doesn't look like she even knows what she's doing. The thing she even wore, very skimpy. It was written all over that whatever I'm seeing made a way for her. So I'm not trying to condemn. But if that is what you are living, if you are living for money, you become a non-entity. Your body will become more like equilateral For some, your soul. Satan just wants your soul. He told Jesus, worship me and I'll give you all the glories of this world. What is there? Maybe a regular Nigerian will say, oh boy, I worship you, I'll give me. He said, I'll give you all the glories in this world. Jesus said, no. You must. He did not say, I'll worship God and God will give me all the glory. He said, there's an instruction. It is only God alone that you must worship and serve. Him alone shall you serve. He did not even put any privilege. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, we have even said, you know, before I even say this scripture, you got to understand, you are not serving God for money. That's why Jesus did not put any privilege there. He said, it's a command that it is only God who must worship and Him alone shall we serve. But meanwhile, He still said in Matthew 6 that if you seek first the kingdom and His word, righteousness, He said, what? Every other good will be added. Why are we not fulfilling this scripture? We are not patient enough. When we talk about children of Israel, some people say, ah, these people mumu. I tell you, they are normal human beings like you and I. And there is no temptation that is not common to man. The only difference between them and you may be probably that you are not in a bush. You may be in a city, but still be in a wilderness and acting up like them. And that's why you have to be careful. Are you listening to me tonight? So I said, God is not just interested in your success. He's interested in the process, the principles, and the what? Conditioning of your heart. Another point, worldly... Okay, I think I've said this. Have I? I've finished that point already. In James 4, then he said, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will what? Lift you in due time. And I wrote, true greatness is not... who praises you on it? It is whether God approves of your life in heaven. Some people can praise you into death, into your destruction. You do the worst things, there are people to praise you. Isn't it? Do the worst things, there are people to praise you. I was seeing a funny story online. There's a singer that slept with somebody's wife. And the singer is being praised. Some people are like, he did not do anything bad in the comment section. And other people said, the wife too did not do anything bad. You see, they are praising them. You can imagine that some Nigerians are praising them unto death. You can imagine something that is literally wrong, that we all know is wrong. Somebody is saying, it is okay. What you did is not bad. You did not kill anybody. But the Bible speaks against adultery. It speaks against fornication. The singer committed fornication. The woman committed what? Adultery. And her justification is the fact that her husband has been committing the adultery, so she revenged with adultery too. Can two wrongs make a right? So you see, these are things the world will be doing now. You know, when they hype you with it, you feel like the singer now. There is no altar of guilt in that singer's heart. He doesn't feel like he has done anything wrong. And in fact, some of us still have his songs in our phone. We probably are singing his song. He was still streaming. He's making his money. Nothing spoiled. Until he meets Jesus one day. That's where real life begins for him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So somebody has to be bold. Somebody that loves him has to be bold to tell him that you are in a wrong path. I said it one time here. I said, somebody has to be bold to tell Davido, you will go to hell if you keep on living like this. Somebody has to be bold to tell Wizkid, you are on en route to hell. Somebody has to be bold to tell all these guys, you are en route to hell if you don't repent. Because these are worldly things. Singing about women, singing about alcohol, singing about things that glorify the flesh. Are we trying to condemn them? No. Are they doing what is wrong? Obviously. If we keep quiet, are we being nice human beings? That's what it seems like for the world. But we are being foolish. The Bible says, better are the wounds of a friend than what? The kisses of an enemy. If I love you, why should I keep quiet when you are destroying yourself? I might present myself wrongly for speaking, but if you look at it more deeply, I don't know for others if they are just trying to condemn you, but I know I'm trying to tell you this thing so that you don't end up in the path of destruction. As a pastor, I can affirm, I understand this very, very well. Sometimes you're advising people, and Satan may want to just, you know, give them this idea that you are just trying to, you are just trying to, you know, usurp authority over them. No. And I tell people sometimes, I give you the liberty to reason logically. What is the advantage of usurping authority over you? What is the advantage? Is it more money or more stress? It's very easy. It's the better part, logically, to leave you and face my life. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It's a better part, logically, to leave you. Moses said, Lord, you hate me so much. Why did you put the burden of the people upon me? Is this how much you hate me? He now said, if I found favor in your eyes, he didn't just say, show me your face. He said, if I found favor in your eyes, he said, kill me now. Kill me now. That's what Moses said. He said, for the burdens of the people are much. So of course, Jesus speaking to Peter, he said, if you love me, you feed my sheep. If you love me, you keep on saying the truth. If you love me, you will keep on. Because a few times you may be tempted not to want to speak. But you have to keep on speaking as a pastor. And that's why I tell my friends sometimes, I say, we have to be bold, some sort of. As someone who is in business, doing so well in business lately, and one time I saw on his page, they were advertising something with the worldly song, and I messaged him. I said, I saw a demonic post on your page, and I said, you are not aware about it. He said, man of God, let me check. He checked. He said, man of God, I'm not aware. She was here when I was making the call. I said, you can't be aware of this demonic post. So you succeeded by tongues, and you are now publicizing by the devil. He said, man of God, they will all repent this very moment. I'm calling them now. They are bringing down the post. The guys feel like he is doing too much spiritual. So they want to use worldly music now to publicize his stuffs, his properties. More like what Paul said in the book of Galatians 3. He said, you began in the spirit, you now want to end in the flesh. You started business God's way. God gave you money to start business. You want to market it on WhatsApp status now. You are using Davido's song because people will buy it better. Did you use Davido's song to get the money for the business? Why do you believe that Davido's song will help you sell the business? If Davido's song did not bring the money, whatever song that brought the money will publicize the business. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? You got to be confident. The Bible says, be not conformed to what? The system of the world, but what? Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Are you here this wonderful morning? I said you cannot achieve godly success through ungodly principles. Many people want God's blessing but reject God's ways. They want divine lifting without holiness. They want favor without obedience. They want crowns without surrender. They want miracles without relationship with God. I'll say it again. Many people want God's blessing but reject God's ways or God's principles. They want divine lifting. You see them sometimes in the morning on Facebook shouting amen. Without holiness. They want favor without obedience. They want crowns without surrender. Miracles without relationship with God. It's not possible. But God does not separate his blessings from his principles. In Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, he said, the book of the law must not depart from your mouth and your heart. Observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your word way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You must follow the principles to see the results. And notice the phrase there. What did he call it? Did he just call it success? God's success is good success. Talk to me, church. Are you here this morning? God's success is what? Good success. Everybody may be successful in a building, but when it comes to you who is a child of God, who follow God's principle to be successful, people will call your success what? Good success. Even successful people will say your success is good. So right now we call for complete holiness if you want divine lifting, obedience if you want favor, surrender if you want crowns, relationship with God if you want what? Miracles. Now, not all success is good success. Some success comes through deception, corruption, manipulation, sexual immorality, oppression, or court powers, compromise. Now, how do you get to know these things if God doesn't open your eyes? And I don't believe that God will even waste his time to open your eyes. If he has told you that my success comes through so and so principles, if you don't believe it, you should just understand that anyone that seems successful who doesn't subject himself to following these principles is not having God's kind of word, success. Are you listening? Good success comes through obedience to God. If God's principles are absent, then the success may impress men, but will not what? Glorify God. Such success will still impress men. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, it said, do not rejoice over the prosperity of the wicked. Do not rejoice over the prosperity of the wicked. Are you listening? Number 3 point, compromise produces temporary success, but spiritual destruction. Compromise will produce temporal success or temporary success, but spiritual destruction. The enemy often offers shortcuts. Satan even tempted Jesus with worldly greatness. In Matthew 4, 8 to 10, Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world and offered them to him in exchange for worship. The devil uses the same strategy today. Compromise a little. Ignore holiness. These are the strategies that the devil will use. Compromise just small, not so much. Just do it small. Compromise a little. Ignore holiness. Everybody is doing it. Have you heard that before? Everybody is doing it. You can still serve God later. You do it now and serve God later. Do it now and get successful and serve God later. You know, I have a confession. Years ago when I became born again and started serving God so strongly, we're not talking about the fact that we can't cheat again with my friends. So while we're thanking God, did you know, in a funny way, I said to them, I want to thank God that I became born again after I've written WAEC. And they all started laughing. That was my reason for thanking God. I said, I want to thank God that now that I'm born again, I've already written WAEC and I passed. Because if I did not write WAEC and I'm born again, now I will write with my head. So I thought I would fail because I will not cheat. But that was wrong. Because now in God, my mind is 10 times better. I can't fail any exams. It's not possible. I've never failed an exam since I understood God. I can't fail any interview. I always pass. I never fail. Can you say that about yourself? Say, I always pass. I never fail. I don't think that when we say God will help you his own way, if you follow his principles, you just sit down like this and God will just be making things possible. He will equip you. The Bible says he has given us everything necessary for what? Life and godliness. I can't fail. So the devil will tell you, compromise just small. Do it small. Just one time. Ignore holiness. Everybody is doing it. You can still serve God later if you do it now. But do not. Little foxes what? Spoil the vine. Don't play Ninja Bet. Now, when you play Ninja Bet and you win, you come and give tithe. Even pastor will keep quiet. I've heard things like that. Except this pastor does not know that it's Ninja Bet money you send in that account. We are returning it to you back to sender. Secondly, imagine we don't know. We eat the money. God will not punish us because we don't know. You will be the one to suffer. Are you listening to me? For some that want to do Yahoo and repent, I hear things like, na former Yahoo boy. You make the money in a Yahoo way, you have already projected, I will make it, then I will repent. What if you die en route making it? I used to have a friend. He promised me those days. We're not strong Christians, but I was stronger small than him. He said, when I advised him about women, he was a very handsome boy. We were handsome in the class in secondary school. So sometimes I escort him. I was an escorter. Yeah, more like an escort. You know those boys that always escort, but they don't do anything. Ribu kabara diakasa. One of those days, I remember he called a lady for me, our chemistry teacher's daughter. And he said that, "I like her. I want to ask her. I just told him she looks beautiful." He went and called her. I didn't tell him that I'm interested. I only said she looks beautiful. So he called her. He had this strong influence on campus. In school, I mean. And she came. Then he called me. I came. When I came there, I saw her. I thought we were passing. He now said he's coming. He left me with her. And he ran away. So I looked at her. I tried, "What is happening?" He ran away. I looked at her. She said, "They say you wanted to see me." I said, "Me? I did not talk anything like that too. Don't mind that, my friend, though." And I beg her, "I'm so sorry. You can go to your class. I did not say I want to see you." He's a funny human being, you know. Very funny scenario. Now, he wanted me to be like him. He had a babe. He wanted me to have a babe too. And funny enough, we're playing instrument in church together. He was a busy. I was a drummer. I hope our busies in church are not like that. And he said to me, "Simon, I will not change now. I'll enjoy my life now. When I get old, I'll now marry and repent. Me too, I'll now be telling my children when I was like you. I did not behave like that." You see, like our fathers used to tell us, I'll be telling them too. I mean, he arranged it very well in his mind. Guess what? A few years down the line, when I went back to Kaduna, he had already started smoking. He had started drinking. And when I tried to interview him, he had even entered gazing for money. So terrible. I had to preach to him several times. I'm not even sure if he's really fully with the Lord now. Now, he had a plan. He started small, just with ladies on in the school. But see how the team metamorphosed. He had planned that he would repent. Satan is hearing you. You're telling Satan that after this one, I'll repent. Satan will not tell you, "Igwe, king of the devil. Well done. Now you get me now. No problem." So you think this your logical mind can defeat Satan? So when you people, when you want to do the Yahoo for a while, now you say, "Satan, we're going to do Yahoo for a while, then I will change." Is that clear? You'll not say, "Yes, sir. Permission. Carry on, sir." As long as he has heard you, that's the right word. It is word. Finish. He will make sure you don't have an opportunity to repent. That, my friend, told me he will repent. But when he heard I was in Kaduna, he came around. Then when he sat with me, I know the perfume for smokers. When I smelled, it was scenting nice on the afternoon with so much heat. I said, "Oh boy, why do they smell like this? With this beautiful perfume that smokers put on?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You are smoking, Oga." I looked at his lips. I verified. Touched it. I said, "Look, Amir, you did smoke." He said, No. I'm not smoking." I said, "You are smoking." I said, "Give me your phone." I opened. I saw him smoking with one. He did one picture. He was smoking. I said, "What if it is?" Now, when we started checking pictures, before you know, I saw him with 30 pictures, him, you know, in different scenarios. And I was like, "Is this how far you've gone?" I remember tears started falling out from my eyes because I knew him those days in school. Very wonderful, promising young man. I remember when we were doing the formula method, because they say we should stop calling it Almighty Formula. Our teacher told us only God is Almighty. So we should stop calling it the Almighty Formula. So we started calling it the formula method. When it came to the formula method in quadratic equation, there's only one person you call it. It's that young man. The way God blessed him with that thing, nobody knew it like him in the class. So promising. He'll just sit down with chewing gum. What is your problem, all of you? The formula method. He said, "Okay. Now watch me carefully." It's so painful because we have to watch him carefully. Then he will do it, you know. Well, look at what happened with him. Do you know, funny enough, when we finished university, he lied that he got admission. He did not get admission. He faked an ID card just to prove to us he's successful. When we wrote JAM, I had over 240 something the first time I wrote JAM. He did not have it. He told me he had 250 something, but I did not see the JAM result. But I believed him because I felt like he can make it. Funny enough, he had 180 something or 170 something, because he later confessed to me he did not get any admission. You see how Satan destroyed. Now, as I'm talking to you, he has not gone to the university. such a promising young man. He promised that after a while he would what? Repent. Just do it small. Your logical mind cannot defeat Satan. The Bible says how that he's very cunning. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you here? So don't think you just do it small. Every ungodly shortcut has a hidden price. Every ungodly shortcut. Mark 8:36. What shall you profit a man if he gains the whole world and what? Loses his soul. A person may gain wealth and lose peace, gain fame and lose purity, gain influence and lose God's presence. Gain wealth, lose peace, gain fame, lose purity, gain influence and lose God's presence. This is not true greatness. This is not greatness in God. Now I'll give you a few biblical examples of false greatness, true compromise. Saul was chosen by God as king, but he disobeyed God for public approval and personal ambition, even though he had been chosen by God. In First Samuel 15:22, Samuel told Saul to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. Because of what the people will say, his pride would not allow him wait for Samuel, and obey the instruction God gave them through Samuel. Saul looked successful outwardly as king, but spiritually he had fallen. He had been removed from his throne. What did Samuel tell him? Say, today you've lost your crown. Another example is Judas Iscariot. Followed Jesus physically but compromised spiritually for money. Was following Jesus physically but was compromising spiritually for money. I mean, you are coming to church, but you are a thief. You are a real thief, real time thief. When it comes to chua, they know you in your office. But you are coming to church, and you are seeming to do hookup. You are coming to church, and you are tilting towards Yahoo, small Yahoo. You are not doing it like unbelievers. You are just doing your own small, righteously. Not so deep. And you who are doing hookup, you are not doing it so serious. You just do it once in a month. You see, people who are doing it 20 times a month will survive. You that Satan is looking at, he will finish you. And if you are here under the sound of my voice, don't be foolish. Repent. Repent. Because the devil will finish you. Pastor, is that graceful preaching? The devil will finish you. This is graceful preaching, right? The devil will finish you. Now I sound emotional. Judas gained silver but lost destiny. He gained what? Silver. But lost what? Is it this thing you are doing today that we see even the proof on your status? You pursue money and leave God. We see the affirmation on your status. You post over 100 status, small, selling Temu cup, Temu spoon, and Temu whatsoever. But when you come to church, you describe all your products, how that we should buy. When it comes to our church flyer, you just put it, be there. You see, it is proof you don't love the Lord. Are you listening to me? It is proof. It is proof you truly don't love Jesus. And it will be hard for you business-wise. It will be hard for you. You know, there's something I would have showed you, but because of time, I can't go there. There's such a thing as spiritual debt. The Bible speaks about how that the angel of the Lord smite the people with blindness. It was not physical blindness in the Old Testament, such that they were not able to see any opportunity. Any business opportunity. Are you listening to me? There's such a thing as that. If you are experiencing spiritual debt, you will just be posting. No, somebody will just come and start doing one thing. You who have been in a Temu seller for years cannot even be close to that person's prosperity. How God does is that He sees His child in church serving Him. Of course, I say in church. You cannot be serving God in your house alone. If you truly love God, you will prove it by serving Him in church. Say, God, I love you. I'm cleaning my room. That's foolishness. If you love God, you clean your room. You come to church and clean the church. See all those rubbish? They say God is in the heart. It's rubbish. The Bible said, neglect not the gathering, the assembling of what? Brethren. Like it is in the character of others. The Bible says, as the culture of Jesus were entailed, He would go to the temple every Sabbath day, which was every Saturday. Even Jesus, as a young man, was going to the temple every Saturday. Before He now grew to even change the temple. He said, destroy the temple when He now grew up. But before He got to that point, He was going to the temple what? Every Saturday. So you see, some people, they post all their things. But when it's godly stuff, you don't post. We are not trying to wish you bad. You are already setting yourself up for destruction. Because you are affirming, you are just the opposite of what the scripture said. It says, seek first the kingdom. He said, every other good thing will be what? Added. And I tell you, more deeper, what we are seeing is a product of no intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Because no matter what you say, their heart is strong. They don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. So you see pride finding expression. When you don't have an experience, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I mean, what we see as a resultant effect are the fruit of pride. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? No, anything they say does not matter to you. You just think you know what you are doing. Paul said this word. He said, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. He said, but when I grew up, I left childish ways. He couldn't help it as a child. Because he had insufficient data and experience that should even help him have the data yet. If you understand what I'm trying to say. In other words, he had not had enough experience, enough knowledge to grow up as the mature. So he was a child here because of insufficient data, insufficient knowledge. And he couldn't even help it. He had to act like a child. Could it be that right now you are acting like a child because you think all the knowledge you have is all it is to knowledge yet? But Paul grew up, the Bible said. He said, when I grew up, I left childish ways. I tell you, the way you are acting now, 5 years from now, if you allow... Now, it is not supposed to be 5 years. It may be 5 years because you are not hearing word. If you trust Jesus enough, you will not learn this thing in 5 years' time. You can learn it even today. And that's why the Bible says, if you hear the word, harden not your heart. Some people learn it in 5 years because they allow experience. When experience hits them jaggedly. Anyhow, they will now be tilted towards the path of God now, the path of truth. Like the prodigal son, they will go back to their father. But today, if you are hearing the word and allowing the word of God get into your spirit, you can learn right now. The Bible says this wisdom is beyond experience. Meaning you don't need any experience to have this wisdom, to validate this wisdom. Are you listening to me? Because it's the wisdom of God. It goes beyond any experience. Jesus in John 15 says, we are supposed to prune and whatsoever. But in verse 3, he said, you are already made pure because of my word in you. You see that? Why did they have to go 40 days in the wilderness? It is not God's prescription. 40 years was never God's prescription. It was because their minds were unchanged yet. So God said, I don't care how long it will take. As long as their minds are unchanged, let them be where? In the wilderness. Don't think God's prescription is a long time in the wilderness. That should not be a doctrine. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The people didn't want to receive change. They had unchanged minds yet. So God said, leave them in the wilderness. Do you know, finally, they did not enter. He's a respecter of principles. He said, I've highlighted my word far above all my names. As long as their hearts were unchanged yet, God said they should not enter. Finally, in Deuteronomy 1:39, he said, your little ones who do not yet understand the difference between wrong and right, I will allow into the promised land. But for this generation, they will not enter. David said to us, he said, they limited the Holy One of Israel. That is why they didn't enter. They murmured before his presence. Complaining before his presence. Somebody who is trying to transform your life, give you a new day and destiny, you are murmuring, you are complaining. Are you here tonight? So I say compromise may give temporary gain, but what? Eventually destroy. Ananias and what? Sapphira. They wanted the appearance of spirituality without true obedience. Their compromise brought judgment upon them. God is concerned not only with what we achieve, but how we achieve it. Now, biblical examples of true greatness in God. Joseph. Joseph refused immorality with Potiphar's wife. Even when nobody was watching him, he refused to have that sugar mommy. Nobody was watching him. He would have just accepted that. But you will think that Joseph is successful if you didn't know Joseph before. And Joseph now accepts Potiphar's wife offer and becomes her sugar son or whatever. Amen. Are we together? What do they call the boy that is a sugar boy? Now, you know, I called him sugar son because I had sugar mommy, so I thought he should be son. Now, he would have accepted that and be successful, isn't it? You just see Joseph just come out with one Lamborghini, one latest Benz, GLK. And you're like, now, wow, God is alive. You say, he will not come for Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, he's sleeping with his August wife. Do you know Joseph would have looked so successful before everybody's eyes? But what was Joseph doing? I say, if somebody is not following God's principle, just know that that success is not true. They are cutting corners somewhere you cannot see. But you know, more importantly, that is the point I want to hit is that more importantly, Joseph had limited his life. Because the success he was destined to have now, if he subjected himself, if he settled for Potiphar's wife, he would have been subjected. He would have not grown to become the prime minister of Egypt. Whatever money he had, he will have in Potiphar's wife. Is it anything compared to what he will have as a prime minister? So whatever money you think you will get right now by compromise is nothing compared to the money God wants to give you if you obey him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So there is no need for Yahoo. There is no need for hookup. I am beating my chest to tell you. There is no need for it. As somebody who has been in the tech world for, I don't know if ever any other world like the tech world, so I will speak about the tech world. I can tell you there are a lot of techies who are more millionaires than Yahoo boys. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm not telling you a lie. I know a young man, a friend who collects $5,000. Now it's even more every month. How many Yahoo boys make $5,000 in a month? Say, no, Pastor, in a day, some of them can make $20,000. Now, America just declared war on fraud. I saw the video yesterday. They say it doesn't matter the country you come from. They will hunt you and pick you and show you that you cannot try their citizens. I just say, Ganga. They catch one thief boy in Boko. Do you even see the video? A big man's son. In Boko, they capture the guy. If you see the guy, the way he even looks, you will know it's somebody that is not disciplined. They captured him. They have carried. He is there now. Meaning, if you are doing it now, your days are numbered. They will catch you. You say, no, Pastor, they will not catch me. I'm using. I tell you that they will catch you. You know what we are talking about? The technology you are using, they gave you. So what do you want to do that they will not catch you? Cover everything. They will still see your face. I hope you are listening to me tonight. So don't subject yourself. Daniel lived in a corrupt system, but refused to define himself by the corrupt system. In Daniel 1:8, Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. God gave him wisdom, favor and influence without compromise. Babylon, so corrupt. Daniel said, I will not defile myself. Are you here tonight? That's why nobody is naming his son Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar. Have you ever seen any boy's name that is Nebuchadnezzar? Huh? Nebuchadnezzar, Alpha. Or Nimrod Kush. Have you ever seen anybody's name like that? Even Pharaoh. Even though he helped Joseph small, nobody accepted the name. Pharaoh Alpha, wait for me now. Nobody. Everybody likes good name. We hear names like Daniel, Joseph, and the rest. Me, I can't give my son's name Samson. Even though I like him, Neither will I give my daughter's name Delilah. But God bless them. I can't even give my... Well, I will not say some because some people will feel bad. And ultimately, the greatest example, Jesus Christ, is the greatest example of godly greatness. Philippians 2, 8 to 9 says, He humbled Himself, in summary, therefore, God highly what? Exalted Him. Are we together? His greatness came through obedience, sacrifice, humility, and what? Submission to the Father. One more point before we go. True blessings from God carries peace, joy, and spiritual safety. Proverbs 10, 22. Can we read together? The blessing of the Lord. And what? This means God's kind of blessing does not produce torment, destruction, hidden bondage, fear, guilt, and spiritual emptiness. Some people appear successful publicly, but privately cannot sleep. Are filled with fear, battle addictions, live in depressions, have broken families, are under spiritual oppression, constantly protect ungodly secrets. I say it again, some people appear successful, but publicly... They appear successful publicly, but privately cannot sleep. Are filled with what? Fear. Battle addictions, live in depression, have broken families, are under spiritual oppression, constantly protect ungodly secrets. Not every smile hides peace. Not every rich man is blessed by God. Years ago on campus in my remedial, somebody smiled. And I prophetically told the lady, I said, there is something hidden in this, your smile. You are not happy. She said, no. How will I not be happy? So when I went back home, she called and started crying. How do you know I'm not happy? I am inflicted with so disease. She had a particular disease that cannot be cured. That they say there's no cure, sorry, physically, logically. Of course, God can cure all sicknesses. So she was told immediately she finished secondary school. And she carried that pain to Remedios. And while she smiled, she was always smiling, I could look through her face and tell her that you are not happy. And she told me what was happening. So not every smile you see hides peace. Are we together? Hidden sorrows often follow compromised success. When success is built outside God's principles, sorrows eventually follows. The sorrow may not appear immediately, but compromise always has consequences. Galatians 6:7. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. Some people sow dishonesty, they sow corruption, they sow immorality, they sow pride, they sow manipulation, they sow rebellion against God. Even if prosperity comes temporary, the harvest of sorrow eventually appears. It must eventually appear. It doesn't matter if you even look good in church right now. You are looking at me, but you are doing these terrible things. The Bible said the sorrow, the harvest of sorrow must eventually appear, except you change. Except you repent. Are you listening to me tonight? That is why believers should never envy ungodly prosperity. Psalms 3:37 from verse 1 to 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. They shall soon be what? Cut down like the grass. Point 9. Say, trust God enough to reject wrong shortcuts. A believer must trust God deeply enough to believe God's way works. Tell somebody God's way works. Holiness is still profitable. Integrity is still valuable. Obedience still brings reward. Sometimes the righteous may seem slower in progress, but their foundation is secure. Slower in progress, but what? Their foundation is so secure. God may take longer, but His blessings are safer. He may take longer, And I told you before, if it seems like God is taking longer, a lot of times you are not aligning with God via obedience. If you are obeying, it will not take long in the wilderness. It will take very short. You have seen it several times. God said, I would have allowed them to enter the promised land, but their mindset are not structured enough to overcome war and get into the land of promise. So I allowed them to circle in the wilderness for 40 years. Meanwhile, he was still providing them food. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You can be in the wilderness. God is giving you small, small miracles. Manna from heaven. Water to drink. Some supernatural experiences. Fire by night. Cloud by day. You can feel goosebumps on your body and still be in the wilderness. Is somebody listening to me this wonderful morning? You feel the anointing upon your head. You even lay somebody's your hand on somebody's head. He's under the power of God. Yet you are in the wilderness. That doesn't stop the fact that you are in the wilderness. Meanwhile, in our generation, Satan paints a picture that makes people feel like they have come into arrival. We have grown so much in God to understand that laying of hands does not equate to maturity of the faith. We have grown so much in God. That you lay hands on somebody does not mean that you are a grown Christian. You can fill anybody with the Holy Ghost and still be in the wilderness. So don't allow the word. Years ago, Pastor Chris Devon is more like our father of faith in Kaduna there. He says this word to all of us. He said, don't allow anybody advise you or hail you into destruction. Those days were younger. He said, they will call you apostle. Oh, there's nobody like you. You are the one that will bring revival. He said, if you are struggling, brother, just close your ear to those rubbish and go and pray. Go and stay with God. Don't allow anybody to hype you into destruction. You know yourself more than anybody knows you. Nobody should come and give you a prophetic word unto death. Years ago, I had a young man who was here. And all of a sudden, he came to me and said, sir, they are prophesying that I am supposed to start a work and etc. And I said to him, who said that to you? He said, the person just visited us last week. He sat at the back. I said, you've been in church. I'm looking at you. Somebody comes from nowhere who does not know you before, and he gives you a word from the Lord. I said, God does not speak through odd voices. He speaks through familiar voices. In fact, so funny, very embarrassing. He said, the person said, it comes to a point where with me and you will have problem. A young boy I started raising. I said, who you are, who will have problem? And I called his name. I said, I will push you. You can have problem with me. You know, it's so funny and painful because he left his home just to come and school here because of me. The parents called me and said, our boy is leaving the house. He said, he's coming to school in Benue because of you. I said, oh, we give God praise. I watch him closely. So when I heard those words, they really broke my heart. And I knew that was the enemy speaking. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now note this, God cannot speak through unfamiliar voices to you. He speaks through what? Familiar voices. It would have been through voices he had been speaking the word to, which is the most short of prophecy, that he will give you a word for any situation. If he's not giving you personally. Because he can speak to you personally. And when it seems confusing in any season of your life, then he speaks to you through a familiar voice. That's why he said, my sheep already knows my voice. Are you listening to me? That means you should have known how God was speaking to you before for him to speak again to you in a new way. In a new season, I mean. Meaning if God is going to speak tomorrow, you should have known how he was speaking to you yesterday. It is through a word, a familiar voice. The devil can give temporary rewards, but only God gives lasting peace. Ecclesiastes 5:10-12 shows that riches without God do not satisfy the soul. Can we read it? I just want to finish this point. Sorry, I took more time. I really need to finish it. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Maybe we'll read it together. I'm not sure this is in the TPT, is it? Is it? All right. Can we have it in the Amplified? Literal Amplified, not the Classic. I want everybody to read out loud, okay? If it's going to be difficult, let's just manage this. All right, let's read together. One, two, read. Everyone. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its gains. This too is vanity, emptiness. If you love money, you will never be satisfied by it. I've said this several times before. I'm even reading it from the Bible. He that sets his eye on rubies shall end in nothing. Next part of scripture. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what advantage is there to their owners except to see them with their eyes? Next part of scripture. The sleep of a working man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach greed of the rich who hungers for even more will not let him sleep. Give me this last part in the NKJV. This is quite confusing. It's just in the NKJV. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. In the original, the greedy. What the Bible is trying to make you understand is that when you labor and you are doing things legitimately, whether you have the resultant effect of your labor or not, you will sleep well. But if you got finances through dubious ways, you cannot sleep. Are you listening to me? And that's why the Bible says to seek first the kingdom and every other good thing will be added. Lastly, the believer's confidence. As children of God, we must come to settled conviction, to a settled conviction. If it is truly from God, it will not destroy you. If it will not pull you away from Him, it will not corrupt your soul, it will not require sin to sustain it. If what you have as success is truly from God, it will not what? Destroy you. It will not what? Pull you away from Him. It will not what? Corrupt your soul. It will not require sin to what? Sustain it. God's blessings bring peace alongside prosperity. So do not be pressured by worldly appearances. Some people look successful outwardly while inwardly living in sorrow. But when God leaves a person, He preserves them. He gives them peace. He protects their soul and adds eternal value to their success. Conclusion, Psalms 1:1-3 tells us that the righteous man who delights in God's law shall prosper like a tree planted by the river of living waters. God's way may seem slower, but it's safer, purer, and eternal. Never measure greatness only by visible results. Measure it by obedience to God, peace of heart, purity of life, spiritual stability, and eternal impact. Because success without God may impress people temporarily. It may impress people temporarily, but only the blessings of God gives lasting peace without sorrow. Hallelujah to Jesus. Can we bow our heads and pray? And say, Lord, help me to become great your way. Help me to become great your way. You are holy, Lord God Almighty. You are holy, Lord God Almighty. You are holy. Go ahead and pray from the depth of your heart. Lord God Almighty.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.